Good to see you. Glad you're here, despite the little microphone foibles. Meet Mike. Anyway, we are in part two of a series on Abraham. But who starts a series on Abraham and doesn't really talk about Abraham in part two? I do. And I told you I was going to do this because last week we were looking at the focus, and the focus was this: as Abram was called, we have been called. And I told you in advance that I want to just kind of lay a careful foundation of what that looks like so that we understand we're not just doing a history lesson in this series. This is going to be all about us as we take a look at Abraham. And I also mentioned that we're going to listen to what Jesus has to say about being called on part two, and that's today. And so today's lesson is, many are called, but few are chosen, which is a mysterious statement, but we're going to find out all about that. And it's really all about us as we listen, and we need to figure some of these things out. So, in Matthew 22 is where this statement comes from. And this statement is going to be a conclusion to a parable that Jesus states. And he's going to finish that parable with that statement, many are called, but in this translation, many are invited, which the word kaleo can be invited, summoned, or called. And those are accurate translations of the word. So just kind of bear that in mind. And this parable that Jesus told begins this way. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." Now we're going to pause here and get our bearings, because we've jumped right in towards the tail end of the Gospel of Matthew, and if you're not careful, you won't have your bearings, and we got to figure out what them we're talking about, and why is he addressing again with a parable? So you need to understand that this is Tuesday before his crucifixion, okay? And the them he's talking to are the religious leaders who are in an uproar, because on Sunday previous, just 2 days earlier, Jesus kind of declared himself by coming into Jerusalem as the king they're all hoping for, and the crowds are in an uproar, but the religious leaders are also in an uproar in the opposite direction, totally opposed to what the crowd is saying about who Jesus is. And then we discover that on this Tuesday, Jesus is speaking a lot of parables that are getting this same religious leader group, and they're not just religious leaders, they are the leaders of Israel. They're getting quite upset, and they're angry at Jesus, and we need to get our bearings in terms of how angry are they. So we're going to back up a little bit, catch from chapter 21 this context. And it reads this way: when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. At a bare minimum, he was a prophet. But the crowd is just clamoring for more hope. And Jesus is bringing that hope. And so although the leaders are ready to kill Jesus, and they're successful just a few days later, Jesus, knowing this is coming, is telling parable after parable after parable, and he pins them to the wall with truth. But it doesn't help them. And we're going to discover that this parable is going to do the same. And we're going to discover some phrases about being called and what happened there, or being invited and what happened there. And we're going to see what he's saying to these folks. But the important thing for us to do as we continue in this is to look for how we fit in this story. how do we fit in this story? So I want you to look for how these religious leaders fit in the story, because they actually fit in the story. Like the previous several stories, they knew that Jesus was talking about them. He's talking about them again, but he also includes us in the story, and you got to find yourself in the story, because many are invited, but only a few are chosen. So where do you fit in the story? What I'd like to do right now is read the whole story. So we're going to start all over in verse 1, and we're going to go through to verse 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city." Can you imagine the rest of the crowd, not just the religious leaders, just eating this up? This is a great story. What does it mean? I don't know, but it's kind of fun to listen to. It's really intense. "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" All right, what I'd like to do now is give you just a shotgun, rapid-fire interpretation of the parable in like 40 seconds. Okay, and then we're going to put the pieces together. So what is the parable about? Jesus tells us it's about the kingdom of heaven and about inviting us. Who is the king? God. Who is the son? Jesus, the Messiah king. What is the wedding banquet of the son? It is something yet to come, but it is described in Revelation in these words. Revelation 19, 7 through 8. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. So there's the interpretation. Let's pray and go home. No, we need to start to put the pieces together to understand what is going on here. So let's begin to do that. Putting the pieces together, point number one. The invitation is open to all. The invitation is open to all. Many are called. Many are summoned. Many are invited. So in Aramaic, the word many, when you use it like that, can mean all. But the contrast is going to be a whole bunch are invited. All of them, good and bad, are invited, but not all of them are chosen, is the conclusion. But we need to start with the invitation is open to all. So on the screen, none are so good they do not need salvation. None are so bad they cannot find acceptance or salvation. So you can't be so good that you don't need it. You can't be so bad that it's not going to be available. Because Jesus came to die for all. But not all will be saved. It's open to all, but not all will be saved. So we need to get a hold of this. This is for the good and the bad. I don't see a whole lot of good people in here. Because we're all sinners. But some are closer in their walk with God than others. And some recognize they're not walking with God at all. There's differences, of course. So the good news is it's open to us from wherever we are. So our purpose statement as a church is precisely that, helping people from wherever they are take steps to where God wants them to be because he has invited them all. We're all here by an invitation to be loved by God and covered for by Jesus. Let's go to a standard, very, very familiar verse, John 3:16, which says the same. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That phrase, whoever believes, that's the invitation. Whoever. It's for whoever of us. God loves the entire world, but only those who believe. Whoever believes is a subset of everybody God loves. So he calls many, but few are chosen. Here's the challenging part. Not everyone who is called will be chosen. So why is that? Point number two. Because how you respond matters. How you respond matters. On the screen is a quote. The question is not whether you're invited, but how have you responded to the invitation? So the parable takes a number of turns, but let's take the first piece here where there's a whole group that ignore the invitation. And then there's another whole group that don't just ignore it, but respond with hostility to the ones who are trying to insist they come, killing the servants, rejecting the servants. And they dishonor the king whose invitation is to them, and they dishonor the king when they ignore the invitation. So we need to take a look at this kind of carefully because we're subject in our culture to be, I believe, busier than any culture that has ever existed in all of history. Now, I can't prove it, but it sure seems to me that we're so fixated on filling our every moment with something that we are way, way busier than any culture. And as a result, we are very dangerously close to those folks that wanted to go off to their field and take care of the things. We get all wrapped up in our busyness to the degree that we don't even notice the importance of the invitation. We don't even notice, we pay no attention. And I believe that God is inviting us in so many different ways, but it's really, really hard to even take note of an invitation when we're so wrapped up in busyness that we cannot hear or even focus in on, pay attention to. That's verse 3, they paid no attention. It serves as a warning to us today. Now, I say that not to point my finger because I can completely relate. I am so busy and I've developed a lifestyle of such busyness that God is not the only thing that I'm not paying attention to. I'm often not paying attention to lots of things that I should be paying attention to. I am so distracted in my busyness. And you could be looking at my body and it looks like I'm not busy, but my mind is not there. It's somewhere else. And I can't even rein it in. And I miss the conversation. I miss the attention that I should be focused on. And God is often getting my attention or trying to get my attention. And I hate it when it's a little small voice that's calling out to me and somebody else that's a bigger voice has to say, Jim, to get my attention, that there's a little voice saying, Grandpa. We are busy, busy, distracted folks, and I can relate. Are you all wrapped up in your busyness? We got to be careful or we're not going to be paying attention to the call of God. And another way to say that, we heard even in the testimonial video, is guess what isn't the center of our lives? Christ needs to be the center of our lives, and we have to be careful that something else hasn't just become our fixation and pulled us away so we can't hear from God. But there's another lesson. So we shift our attention to the man who was confronted for not wearing the proper wedding clothes. The issue for him was not that he was too poor, that he couldn't afford proper clothing. That is not the issue here. For clues, we already read Revelation 19, 7 through 8. If you haven't jotted that down, you might want to. Revelation 19, 7 through 8. We already read that just minutes earlier, where not only in Revelation, but in many sources of history in that culture and time, it was not unheard of by common people. They understood that in really, really important royal weddings, royalty would provide a garment so that you could wear garments that were honoring to the king and honoring to the king's son. So that would be a normal thing. Interestingly, that's not even stated in the text. But in Revelation, we see at the wedding of the Lamb, which is a reference to Jesus, the provided Lamb, which we focused on in communion today, the Lamb that was provided, which is that prophetic future coming. And this takes place in a teaching where Jesus knows exactly who he is and what's coming in just a few days, is putting the pieces together so people can understand in hindsight that he's a prophet, and what he said is exactly true. AD 70, Jerusalem is destroyed. The city is burned. There's not a stone left on the temple unturned, because in that burning, all of the gold of the temple is melting through the cracks, and everybody is trying to get all the gold out. So they pry open every stone. There's a huge judgment that takes place on Jerusalem. If you keep reading in Matthew, Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem because Jerusalem is rejecting him, and he came to his own, and his own is rejecting him. And he's prophesying what's going to happen with that rejection. And it did happen. That very city, because the leaders of that city reject him, and he's come for them. He's invited them. Many are invited. Many are called. And these who have been called from the time of Abraham past should have known better. And they're judged because those who are held responsible for much are judged with much. And here we are. We hear a lot about Jesus. We need to be careful. Just because you're parked in the garage doesn't mean you're a car. Just because you're here in a church and you've received an invitation, and maybe you base the fact that you are a Christian on your past response to an invitation, you might be missing something. The king would look at you and say, "Where are your wedding garments?" And you might respond speechless. You might think everything's okay according to your view of looking at things, but from a king's perspective, God knows your heart, because we're not talking about an ordinary king. We're talking about our God, who is king of the universe, who says, "Where are your wedding clothes? I provided them for you. Why are you not wearing them?" So what is taking place here isn't that he doesn't have the clothes, it's arrogance. Thinking that you invited me the way I am, and so I'm coming as I am because you invited me this way. Listen, Jesus loves you enough to invite you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He has provided for you the righteousness of Christ to put on like clothing and learn how to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. And if he looks at your life and you're basing your Christianity on something that you decided in some confession a long time ago, but your life doesn't reflect that confession, you're not accepting the gift. In fact, your arrogance, your self-righteous arrogance condemns you. In a religiosity where God says self-righteousness saves nobody. We all are saved only by the righteousness of Jesus, who paid the penalty for our sins by dying on a cross for us. So it leads us to point number three, the chosen accept God's way. You can't just accept the invitation and then rewrite the script and say, well, this is how I view it, this is how I look at it. You need to look at the script and know the script, know the gospel, know the calling, know what is required. God's will, God's way, through Jesus, by grace, by faith alone. It's not through your efforts that I'm good enough. None of us are good enough. That's why we need a Savior. And that's why the Savior, who is the Son of God, had to die. Is there any other way? He said to his father. And the answer is, not if we're saving these folks and we love them too much. And Jesus was willing to love you that much to go to the cross for you. So it's the chosen must accept God's way. Jesus came to establish the new covenant, which revolutionized and fulfilled the old covenant. The old covenant thinkers who rejected Jesus were rejecting the new covenant, and they would rather taste the old wine that doesn't work. It's like, this is what we always had. And Jesus says, there's going to be completely different wineskins with new wine, because those different wineskins have different forms. It's going to look completely different, because if we use the old forms, it'll just explode out of them. And yet, Jesus also said, those people that liked the old covenant better weren't going to accept that. They said the old is better than the new. And they reject Jesus, and they want to go the route of religiosity and self-righteousness. And Jesus says, it'll never work. That was all fulfilled in me, and all fulfilled in what I have accomplished. That's the good news. It's a gift. Those who thought they could get in through self-righteousness are badly mistaken. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. If there's anything we need to root out of our lives, it's pride, because God opposes your pride. So if there's pride thinking, I'm good enough, I'm better than them, God will have to save me, root that out of your life. Only by humility, God, I need you. Help me today. Does he then grant you the favor and the grace you need for today's need, as well as your need for salvation and taking you home? Point number four, readiness to receive is important and urgent. Important and urgent. Jesus' words, many are called, but few are chosen, are not meant to discourage us. They are meant to wake us up. So many people think, I've been called, I've been saved, and because I'm called, because I'm saved, I'm going to get to heaven. And wake up if you are deceiving yourself, and you can. And if your life doesn't match your calling, the king will look at you and say, where are your clothes? and you will be just as speechless. Is Jesus your center, or are you self-centered? I do what I want. I just want forgiveness. Then I'm going to go do what I want. Then I will come back, and I want forgiveness, and I'm going to do what I want. It doesn't work like that. Something hasn't changed in the heart of stone. Now, I still have sin. I'm not sinless, but as I walk with Jesus, I sin less. Are you seeing progress? Let's look to that progress. That's why we say we are helping people take steps from wherever they are to where God wants them to be. It's urgent. Time was running out. We don't know how long we have. Look at all of us. We don't know how long we individually have, and that's the only time we got. But we're a long ways into history. We don't know how much time we have. And then in the middle of our invitation, the king says, "Where are your clothes?" That's the story. And the result was he's bound up and cast out into the outer darkness, which is the same language that's used vividly for hell. And so he isn't just telling an earthly story. He finishes it with this eternal judgment. And it's not meant to scare us. It's meant to say it's urgent. You only have a limited time. So make sure you respond to the invitation the way the invitation is meant to be responded to. How you respond makes a difference. So let's review where we've been. The invitation is open to all. How you respond matters. The chosen accept God's way. Readiness to receive is important and urgent. And so I ask you, have you accepted God's invitation on His terms? Are you ready to respond? I would like to say that we do have Start Here offered across the hallway today. Many of you have signed up. I think 19 of you are signed up to go. We have room for more. And we will get the paperwork and we will know who you are and help you take steps. And you'll be challenged with, what am I going to do with this? Will I respond with this? You don't have to feel any pressure to respond today, but maybe you should feel pressure to take some steps today and then consider these things that come before you. So maybe you want to leave from this place, walk across the hall, because at 10:30, Start Here, we'll begin. Now that's my invitation to first service only. Second service, it was too late because it was already offered. That's a parable, right? It's no judgment on them. It's just a parable. All right, so I'm glad you came. And if you're a guest today, we have a Connect card that you can fill out. If you go straight across the Start Here, don't bother. We'll get your information. And if you want to take more time, take your Connect card to the Next Steps table and we'll give you a gift bag to start the communication. You can decide next go around when you have an opportunity, you'll take that up. And if you have a prayer need, boy, we have a prayer team getting ready to pray for you and you can write it out. If that's a little intimidating, just drop it in the giving box and we will be praying for you. Speaking of prayer, let's close in prayer together. Dear Lord, thank you for the invitation to the kingdom of heaven. We want to honor you, and we want to honor your Son. Thank you for providing us with your righteous robes. We put our trust in you. Clothe us in your righteousness so that we may honor you and enjoy your blessing and become a blessing to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.